The text is the Gospel reading from St. Mark, the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Here ends the text. Queen Victoria and Prince Albert made popular putting an angel on top of a Christmas tree. In 1846, a London paper had an illustration of the royal family round the tree. On top of the tree were beautiful angels. Angels, singular or plural, represent either Gabriel, who announced the conception of Jesus to Mary, or the angels who heralded his birth to the shepherds. In Advent, however, John the Baptist should be on top of our trees because he is the only, one and only Advent angel. Our text says this. Quoting from the Old Testament, Mark identifies John as the messenger, literally the angel, who God sends ahead of Jesus to prepare the way. Imagine John the Baptist perched on top of your Christmas tree. He is burnt from being in the desert sun for years. Not only does he wear a leather belt, but his skin is leather-like. In the words of Willie Nelson, his skin is like iron and his breath as hard as kerosene. He is clothed not in white glistening garments, but in camel's hair. The food of this angel is not milk and honey, but honey over grasshoppers. I dare you to top your tree with this angel. Instead of the anemic feminine one you put on your tree now, place a bearded, brown, masculine John. And you know how your angel radiates peace on earth and goodwill toward men? John the Baptist radiates repentance. In the words of the Old Testament, John came calling, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." In the words of the New Testament, John came preaching a repentance baptism. John's on top of your tree pointing out all that is wrong and has been wrong in your house this past year. Many years ago, Christianity Today had an article about the disparity between the faces of church members at home and at church. A family of four with hurt, mad, bitter, teary faces is showing reaching into their closets for four sets of church clothes with happy, carefree, pious faces attached to them. I don't know what's really going on in your home, but the Lord does. And he sends his angel John into your homes to show you. He points at you disobedient kids and he says, "Repent." He points at you bickering spouses and says, "Repent." He points out the ugly, hateful, shameful things you say, and the many more you don't but think, and says, "Repent." John says all of this must be put right in Advent before Jesus can come. This tension of not being ready for Christmas is virtually in every Christmas special. Either that special toy has not been bought, the family member's not yet home, or perhaps the feuding family members have not been reconciled. Only the last of these is real. The other two are imitations. Christ is coming to your home regardless of the status of your Christmas shopping. Christ is coming regardless of who comes to Christmas dinner. But a feuding, unreconciled, bitter, unforgiving heart bars the door to him. So, you think you can straighten up all that is bumpy? All those bumpy, crooked paths in your home or heart, think you can straighten them all up, level them all off so Christmas can come to you? Here's the problem. Food, family, fun, and mood They can smooth out the bumps in your roads and make the path seem less crooked. They can even give you peace on earth for a while. But that is not what John's on top of your tree demanding in the name of the Lord. He's demanding repentance, real change, a real difference. And you and I have as much chance of doing that as the Grinch had of making his own heart bigger, or Scrooge had of waking up a different man without the spirits visiting him. There, John the angel sits on top of your tree with his finger pointing right at you. But the word angelon in Greek also means messenger, as the insert translates. John comes to bring you a message this Advent. And it's more than pointing out your sins. John ultimately points to Jesus. In John's Gospel, John the Baptist says, "The reason I came baptizing with water was that the Christ might be revealed to Israel." That's big. The reason John came preaching a baptism of repentance was not to rub people's faces in their sins. The reason the angel John is perched on top of your tree is not to point out your sins, but your Savior from sins. However, before you use the cure, you've got to be convinced you have the disease. Before you'll drink the water of life, you've got to be thirsty. Before you'll eat the bread of life, you've got to be hungry. Sick enough of your sins? Sick enough of what you've done to or with your life? Thirsty for a better way? Hungry for that which really can satisfy? The angel John doesn't point to repentance to cure your sins. He doesn't point to the waters of being sorry to slack your thirst. He doesn't point to the bread of trying harder to be a Christian spouse, sibling, child, or person. John points to Jesus. John says, "After me will come one more powerful than I. Neither you nor John can deal with your sins, cure your sickness, quench your thirst, or fill your soul. You and he can see the sickness and all of its ugliness, the thirst and all of its dryness, and the hunger and all of its emptiness, but you can't do anything about them. The best you can do, as I said earlier, is hide them. Worse would be to deny them. But the absolute worst thing you can do is try harder. Overcome the sin and sickness and bring healthy peace to your home. Be the water bearer for everyone. Be the one who makes sure everyone else is fed." This is exactly where some of you are heading, which means you haven't even gotten the first part of John's message yet. You still think you're not that sick. You're not that dried up. You're not that starving. You still have the health to follow the austere, dedicated, devoted life of John. Don't misunderstand. John's life is all these things. Jesus himself says that among those born of women, none is greater than John. But John doesn't point out your sins and then point to himself. He points out your sins and then he points to one more worthy than I. You don't need more John. You need more Jesus. John can point out your sins, but he cannot deliver you or save you from them. Oh, John can be your example. His life is certainly worthy of that. But you don't need a mentor. You don't need a goal setter. You don't need a purpose giver. You don't need a motivator. You don't need a trainer. Is your life screwed up because you don't know the right thing to do? Is the problem with your relationship that you don't know how to treat someone else? Does the sickness, hunger, or thirst in your life come from not having the right goals, enough motivation, or someone to train you how to act like people do dogs? John's worthy to bring the message of repent, prepare. John's worthy to set on top of your tree this Advent, showing your sickness, making you hunger and thirst for what neither he nor you can secure or satisfy. But only Jesus is worthy to cure you. Only Jesus is worthy to water you. Only Jesus is worthy to feed you. John's the angel of the Lord. John's the angel of Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus didn't come because John did. John came because Jesus did. Without a runner, what need would there be for a forerunner? Without forgiveness, healing, water, and food, it would be cruel to send an angel to point out sin, sickness, dehydration, and starvation. But confessing that you are no match for your sins, admitting that you can do no more to put your life back in order than a dead man can to raise himself, a blind man can make himself see, or an enemy can make himself a friend, confessing all of that is only despair, unless the forgiveness, sight, and friendship are available. What good would it do to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins if there was no forgiveness in the water? The angel John couldn't put forgiveness in his water, sight in your eyes, or friendship in your heart. He wasn't powerful or worthy to do these things. John too needed forgiveness. John needed sight. John needed to be reconciled. It takes God himself in flesh and blood to do these things. Jesus came to live under the same laws of God that you are supposed to. Only while they condemn you, they couldn't condemn him. There is not one law, one command, one word of God that Jesus failed to do perfectly in thought, in word, in deed. While there's not one that you and I haven't failed to do. So there was hell to pay. The seriousness of a sin is judged by whom it's against. You wrong the president and you'll suffer more on earth than if you wrong me. So how much suffering does wronging the eternal, holy, loving God deserve? Which deserves an eternity in hell. And that's what Jesus suffered in your place. He went there, so you don't have to. Now we've come to the end of the text, where many trip. The Advent angel John is thought to be scorning his water baptism in favor of a spirit baptism that Jesus brings. First, Jesus describes John's baptism in John chapter 3 as water and spirit. Second, what John says here is explained by the gospel writer John in chapter 7. St. John quotes Jesus saying, "Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him." Then John goes on to explain, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." John was able to baptize, that is, pour out water which had the Spirit, as Jesus says it did in John 3. But only Jesus was strong enough and worthy enough to baptize, that is, pour out the Spirit on Pentecost. John compares persons, not baptisms. As John fulfilled his ministry by baptizing for the forgiveness of sins, the sins, very sins his preaching of the law caused people to confess, so Jesus fulfilled his ministry by ascending as the perfect man into heaven to pour out the Spirit on a fallen mankind. As soon as John brings you to see that you are hopeless and helpless to heal, water, or feed your situation for the better, look past him to the Jesus he points to. Jesus is strong enough. Jesus is worthy enough to bring Christmas to you. Jesus levels the mountains. Jesus straightens the path to get to your house. So take down John the Advent angel and put up the Christmas angel. Peace and goodwill has come to your house because in Jesus, God and even sinners such as you are reconciled. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.